welcome to Knit Spirit. I'm your host, Ivy Reisner, and this is episode 79, Kol Nidre. I apologize in advance if this episode comes off as a little strange. It's an odd topic to be talking about just because of the history behind it and how it's been misused over the years, but it is seasonal and I think it's appropriate to talk about it, so let's give it a try. Knitting-wise, I just finished a bath set, a soap sack and a washcloth, and the pictures are on my blog. I'll link in the show notes. I just needed some sort of mindless knitting to keep me calm in the doctor's office because doctors make me nervous. So this was just cabling and kind of fun, and I knitted that up pretty quickly. A project that I test knit for the Unique Sheep, which is a really easy garter stitch woven laptop bag, is now available. It's a good beginner project. You can see it at theuniquesheep.com/patterns/woven-checker-laptop-bag.html. And I think the one I test knit is the one that's on the website. So that's really exciting. On the needles this week, I have the last of the Secret Garden Shawl in the I'll Be Back colorways. And I'm hoping to have it finished by the time the next book in the Terminator Salvation series comes out, which I believe is October 20th. So I should be able to do it. And I'll be able to curl up in my Skynet shawl reading a Terminator novel. I'm kind of excited about that. I'm such a geek. I also have a Secret Garden shawl in the Wildflowers Gradients colorways and a Hermione hat. And I'm slowly convincing my roommate to knit a blanket one square at a time using the pattern for Warm Up America. Basically, I convince her to knit a square and then another square and then another square, and then we're going to sew them all together. I'm so determined to drag her kicking and screaming into knitting. But right now we're in the middle of Holy Week. Rosh Hashanah is past and Yom Kippur is coming up. That will be Sunday at sundown to Monday at sundown. And this is a holiday where we fast, we pray for forgiveness for our sins. It's most of the day is spent in prayer. It's a very solemn holiday. It's a very hopeful holiday. It's a very purifying holiday. And I wanted to talk a bit about the Aramaic prayer that starts the Yom Kippur service. And it's called the Kol Nidre. I'm going to start by just running through the text of the prayer in English. The leader begins by saying, all vows, obligations, oaths, and anathemas, whether called konam, konas, or by any other name, which we may vow or swear or pledge, or whereby we may be bound from this day of atonement until the next, whose happy coming we await, we do repent. May they be deemed absolved, forgiven, annulled, and void, and made of no effect. They shall not bind us nor have power over us. The vow shall not be reckoned vows, the obligation shall not be reckoned, the obligation shall not be obligatory, nor the oaths be oaths. The leader and the congregation then say together, and it shall be forgiven all the congregation of the children of Israel, and the stranger that sojourneth among them, seeing all the people were in ignorance. The response, by the way, is a quote from Numbers 15:26. Many Jewish authorities over the centuries have tried to get rid of the Kol Nidre. It was highly contentious in the ancient world within the Jewish community. And many anti-Semitic groups have used the Kol Nidre as proof that Jewish oaths were moot and Jews were not to be trusted. The Protocols from the Elders of Zion says, and I'm quoting, the Kol Nidre is a Jewish prayer named for its opening words, all vows, Kol Nidre. It is based on the declaration of the Talmud, he who wishes that his vows and oaths shall have no value, stand up at the beginning of the year and say, all vows which I shall make during the year shall be of no value, unquote. The quote from the Talmud inside of the protocols is just made up. But that does not exist at all in the Talmud. It would be nice to think that this was an ancient misunderstanding, but during the 2000 presidential campaign, the website Sweet Liberty wrote, a thorough and candid scrutiny of Judaism will reveal that adherence to it disqualifies the adherent from holding public office because Judaism institutionalizes lying. This is nowhere more emphatic than in the Kol Nidre rite, which Mr. Lieberman will be performing in a synagogue in October as part of the Yom Kippur holy days. Kol Nidre absolves him of all promises he will make and oaths he will take in the coming year, not only the statements he makes to national TV audiences, but the oath he may be called upon to swear to the Constitution On January 20th, should he and Gore be given the electoral nod by the cryptocrats who control America's rigid computerized voting system? Unquote. The real problem is that Judaism takes oaths extremely seriously. That's why Jews affirm rather than swear when they serve jury duty or testify in court. Breaking a solemn vow is a terrible sin. It calls in God as a false witness. Now, to give an example of how this sort of plays out or where this might come into play, let's say, for example, I witnessed a robbery. And let's say I was called in to testify. I might say that the person was wearing a black shirt at the time of the robbery, because to my perception, the man was wearing a black shirt at the time of the robbery. But in fact, he might have been wearing a dark navy blue shirt, and I mistook it for black. If I swore to tell the truth and then said that a blue shirt was a black shirt, I would be calling on God to be party to a lie. There was no intention to lie, but there was a lie. Christianity holds that a sin must be performed willingly, with knowledge, and with intent for it to count as a sin. In Judaism, not quite. In the Yom Kippur prayer, for example, and here I'm just extracting bits as we go, we ask forgiveness, quote, for the sin we have committed before you under compulsion or of our own will, for the sin we have committed before you unknowingly, for the sin we have committed before you in presumption or in error, for the sin we have committed before you wittingly or unwittingly, and for the sin we have committed before you with confusion of the mind. For a Jew, a sin can be performed accidentally. Such a sin would naturally be forgiven lightly. Intent does play a major part. But the point is that we have to be very diligent to prevent that kind of situation from coming up. Now, here's where it's going to take a left turn into the strange. I want to pull the popular anime and manga series Naruto into this discussion. If you know the character Gai Sensei, he is a perfect example of the purpose of the Kol Nidre prayer. He's always making these outrageous promises. So let's say we have a scene where we'll see him off training and he'll say, I will do 1,000 push-ups. And if I fail, I will punch this bag 2,000 times. Then in the next scene, we'll see him punching the bag and he'll say something like, if I can't finish 2,000 punches, I'll do 3,000 sit-ups. Now let's say he's 500 or something punches in and his student Lee shows up and wants to talk. Guy might stop and give his attention to Lee, and he might get distracted and go off to help Lee solve whatever it is that's bothering him. Well, that would mean he's not only broken his vow to do 2,000 punches at the risk of having to do 3,000 sit-ups, he's forgotten the vow altogether. But who has he made the promise to? And who has been disappointed? And the main point, who can he go to if he wants to ask forgiveness for failing his promise? He has no one that he can ask. And for a time in the ancient world, the Israelites were kind of like little Jewish guy senseis. I will study Torah for X number of hours, and making these outrageous promises to themselves, these vows to themselves that they couldn't really keep. And many of the times they would just fail, or they would go off and do something else or something more pressing or more immediate. We all make these kinds of promises, really. We might say, I'm going to exercise regularly, or I'm going to pray more often, or I'm going to write more, or I'm going to knit down the stash. A New Year's resolution can be seen as an oath. And it is that kind of a promise to oneself or a promise to God alone that the Kol Nidre seeks pardon for. If a person wants to get out of a vow to another person, he has to approach that person and ask permission or ask forgiveness if it's happened and he's either forgotten or was unable to fulfill it for whatever reason. Incidentally, Yom Kippur is for atonement of sins against God alone. For sins against man, Yom Kippur offers no atonement. The rabbis make this very clear at the beginning of every service. One is advised to speak to the wronged party directly. And this makes a lot of sense if you can imagine, let's say I had wronged Sharon. I couldn't go ahead and go walk over to Jason and say, hey, Jason, can you forgive me for wronging Sharon? That wouldn't make sense. Likewise, if I've wronged Sharon, I can't go to God and say, hey, can you forgive me for wronging Sharon? I have to take it to Sharon. I have to go to her and say, I have wronged you. Will you forgive me? I would like to apologize to you. we do focus on that immediacy of the relationship. And so that's why the Kol Nidre prayer isn't saying, I want to nullify vows made with someone else. I wouldn't be saying I'm nullifying the vows I will make with Sharon. It's nullifying the vows one makes with oneself, and to some extent nullifying the vows one makes with God. That's not quite the same as swearing to God. That's calling in God as a witness. This is more saying, God, I promise that I will study Torah for 6 hours today, and then simply being unable to study Torah for 6 hours today. And the idea of an apology in advance isn't unusual or improper. I don't think I upset anyone when I started this episode with one. So I'm kind of hoping that made sense. But I have just one prayer request this time, and it is for Dokuritsu. She's my cat. This is probably not a serious situation. She's been diagnosed with very, very early stages of hyperthyroidism, which is a really easily controlled situation in cats most of the time. Just we stick a little bit of a gel in her ear every day, and that should be it. But I'm going back to test her in a month, and I'm a little bit nervous, so I'm going to ask for prayers. And otherwise, that should wrap us up for this time. May you be inscribed and sealed in the Book of Life for a sweet year. Until next time, be blessed and keep knitting.